Since the beginning of the Indicom Act 8 years ago, I must have personally written about 100 articles seeking to point out why Indicom, as it is presently constituted, is bad for law enforcement. Now, in a country like Jamaica, in which the culture is so vastly anti-police, it is hard to gain any traction with that kind of argument, where everyone believes that whatever police get, they deserve, because they are inherently bad and inherently corrupt. And so, for 8 years, I've written articles, and I've spoken about it, and I've done what I could do to bring some attention to the fact that the way the law is constituted is inherently wrong. Now, fast forward to the recent ruling by the appellate court, that it's not that necessarily, before we get to the court, it's not necessarily that the law is necessarily a bad law. Let's be reasonable. I'm a former police officer, but let's be reasonable here. It is the police who caused the Indicom Act to be created. It is police officers by their own actions that caused the creation of Indicom. And so we have to at least face that reality. But nevertheless, we can't have a law that is so detrimental, that is so on the other side of the police, that we get to a place where law enforcement officers cannot do their jobs. That is in nobody's interest. It's not in the police interest. It's not in the citizens' interests. But we understand that, for the most part, in a society like Jamaica, where anti-policeism is probably the largest growth industry, that kind of narrative, that kind of anti-police agency, is going to be seen as a savior, a panacea for all of the nation's ills. And nobody bothers to say, wait a minute, this is tilted a little bit too much on the other side. Nobody cares, because those police boys has to be brought under control. Those police boys deserve everything that they get. Those police boys, who cares about them? Getting that part of the population to understand how important it is to have law enforcement is never going to be an easy task. On the other hand, they are the social elites, those whose influence we see in this law, the upper St. Andrew crowd, that those social elites are never going to change anything either. Because in this cornucopia of craziness, in the Serengeti of madness, they are Lord. So I have been saying for years and years and years, this thing is bad. There's nothing wrong with Indicom, an agency that has investigative power to oversee the nation's security forces. Nothing wrong with that. The problem is when we have the same agency prosecuting, looking for the prosecutorial outcomes, and the same agency militating against the police that it is supposed to investigate fairly, justly, and equitably. How can that be? When the commissioner of Indicom, Terrence Williams, a gentleman who seemed not able to understand that he can be effective by being silent, just do what he has to do. A man who seemed to crave the limelight, a man who seemed almost narcissistic and pathological at the same time. In his rapacious desire to be in the limelight. You have that man heading the department. You have that man sitting and meeting with people from JFJ and other anti-police lobby. How can that man be a fair investigator? How can he and his agency be fair investigators? As a former police investigator, when I got called to a crime scene, I go to that crime scene. I didn't go out there with any preconceived notions as to who committed that crime. Even when I get information, when I received information as to who may be involved, we had to find evidence to tie that person to the crime. And then we had to pass that information on to the director of public prosecution, as the case may be, or the clerk of the courts, depending on the jurisdiction. And so, in today's Gleaner, a very respected Jamaican lawyer, Valerie Nita Robertson, wrote a very very simple but interesting letter. In it, she said, Indicom must not arrest, charge, and prosecute its own investigations, but must be subject to the constitutional buffer of the office of the DPP. If we are to ensure that justice in Jamaica is not an illusion, let us all be guided by the oft-used phrase that there can be no peace without justice. You speak to any police officer, they'll tell you, I'm not opposed to what they call pressure groups. They'll tell you, I'm not opposed to pressure groups. What they're afraid of is what is a clearly malicious Terrence Williams with an overzealous agenda, not just to investigate, but to prosecute, to persecute, and to imprison. That cannot stand. Last year alone, the country had over 1,600 homicides. And we're at a point now where we have police officers locked up on the allegation that they committed homicide. Over 4 years, I spoke about that in a recent article. And the government is refusing to pay their legal fees, even though the government was committed to paying those legal fees. And I understand that the justice minister now, and I use the term loosely, he's saying, oh, well, we only said we would assist, we would help. As if he's doing them a favor. And this is, ladies and gentlemen, is what is the difference between a country where the rule of law is sacrosanct and a country in which we have the big man, as per Jamaica. I guarantee you every dollar of that over $200 million that is allocated to Indicom has been paid to that agency. But the agents of the state, the police officers who go out and keep people safe to the best of their ability, when they're charged, as police officers will be in the execution of their duties, because just by the nature of the job that they do, they're going to run into difficulties from time to time. And if you tell me that, oh, it's not so, I'll tell you, go to hell, you have no idea what you're talking about. And particularly in a situation like Jamaica, in which there are so many people willing to commit crimes, regardless of the consequences, police officers are going to run into problems. In a situation like Jamaica, in which the system is so heavily slanted in favor of those who break the laws. And so, when these officers find themselves charged criminally, why shouldn't the state pay their legal fees? One of the enduring arguments that exists is the argument in Jamaica about the presumption of innocence. Why does the presumption of innocence not apply or extend to police officers? Why are they not entitled to the same rights and privileges as everybody else? That's the $1 million question. And so today, as that particular officer is still languishing in jail. 4 years later, we ask again, why is this officer not granted bail? When there are innumerable cases in which alleged gunmen have been given bail over and over and over and over, and every time they kill, they've been granted bail and released back onto the streets. Here's a police officer who was acting as a police officer, charged with homicide, held despite the presumption of innocence, still in jail. And the government refuses to pay the legal fees. I just want to go back to the Indicom thing. Delroy Chuck, the injustice minister in our country, he has been arguing that the intention of the legislature when it passed the Indicom Act 8 years ago was to give the police to give Indicom power of arrest and prosecution. It's ridiculous, and I've said it was, and I've been saying it was. What is the zeal behind the power to prosecute? If we are saying that Indicom must have powers to prosecute, basically what we are saying by default is we have no confidence in the Office of the Director of Public Prosecutions. What is it about this government that makes it want to split up the foundation, the structures of our democracy, and splinter it into little groups, as it has done with the Jamaica Constabulary Force? What is it about this administration that makes it want to split up these groups? Give this one a power to prosecute, that one. Why not improve the investigative and prosecutorial prowess of the director of the public prosecutions? And let that office embark on these prosecutions. Why should Terrence Williams be able to prosecute any case, or Indicom for that matter? What is it about the central prosecutorial office that makes it incapable of prosecuting police officers? Why is it this government wants a separate office to prosecute police officers? Or is it to persecute police officers? And the thing is that they know that they can get this through. They know that they can get this done. Because, like I said earlier, anti-policism is Jamaica's largest growth industry. You want to be Mr. Big Shot, you start something that's anti-police and you are it. So there's no problem getting to pass these stupid laws. As a matter of fact, it's the only time that there's collaboration between PNP and JLP. The only time. Only time that there's collaboration on any issue between those two criminal gangs is when they have a piece of legislation that's going to corral the police and further encumber their efforts. We'll talk some more.